Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Sailfish Royalty, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FISH and on the OTCQX under the symbol SROYF. We are chatting with the Vice President of Corporate Development, Paolo Lostrito. Now, Sailfish Royalty holds a couple main assets within their portfolio. A gold stream equivalent to a 3% NSR on the San Albino gold mine, as well as a 2% NSR on the rest of the area surrounding San Albino. This is in northern Nicaragua. Also up to a 3% NSR on the multi-million ounce Spring Valley gold project in Nevada. Paolo, let's start with the recent operational update, Q1 results, revenues, about $723,000 for the 3 months ended March 31st. In addition to the cash flow from that gold stream, company also collected about $1.12 million from its gold link loan to Mako Mining. Paolo, please break down the Q1 operational updates, the cash flow, and the growth that the company is seeing in terms of cash flow, please.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Shad. Appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Again, we continue to deliver on results. The business plan continues to yield steady cash flows for shareholders of Sailfish. So cash coming in is roughly about $1.8 million a quarter, and there's good torque to the gold price and gold production at San Albino, but also the exploration upside at both San Albino and the surrounding area, and also the exploration that's going on in and around Spring Valley.
Well, Paolo, let's break it down a little bit further. I mean, obviously, it's exciting to see the gold stream coming in off Mako Mining and bringing in with a royalty from it that acts like a 3% stream, because Mako Mining is continuing to grow their production profile. We've had Akiba on the show a few times, so that part of it is exciting. But there's this other part linked to this gold loan that you have loaned Mako Mining, and I'd love you to unpack that for investors and just explain how it's actually performing better than you expected.
Yeah, when we first structured the gold link loan, it was roughly at about $1,750 an ounce. We were going to get paid about 205 ounces a month. That was starting in October of 2021, and basically was sliding scale. And with the gold price, you know, averaging kind of $1,850 an ounce, we've gotten that torque in terms of that deliverable. And so as a result, we've been actually getting a lot higher yield than the 8.5% that we originally designed the gold link note to be structured as. So we're yielding quite a bit more than the 8.5 that we were originally kind of guiding, which again is accretive to shareholders.
Paolo, can you give us a bit of an update on what you guys are forecasting, projections for the rest of this year?
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, all things being equal, assuming the gold price continues to stay in and about where it is right now, you're looking at roughly about $1.8 million a quarter coming in terms of cash. And that's, you know, kind of an EBITDA of about $1.3 million a quarter. And we continue to buy back stock. I think we bought back over 550,000 shares during the first quarter, and subsequent to the first quarter, we actually bought back nearly another 400,000 shares in the market. So we're continuing to buy back stock. We think the stock's cheap. Our dividend yield is about 5%, given where our shares are trading at the moment. And we continue to believe that shareholders are being paid to own Sailfish Royalty. And in addition to that, the upside is one, driven from the exploration upside at San Albino and surrounding area, two, the exploration in and around Spring Valley that's being done by Waterton. And then thirdly, we've just kind of updated the market that the Swordfish Silver spinout is back on track. We've got a lead order for $2 million US. And so the idea is that within 8 weeks' time, we're going to go live with the Swordfish spinout, effectively vend in Gavilanes, bring in the Commonwealth project in Arizona, and be able to move that project, both of those projects forward.
Yeah, a lot of interesting value drivers for the company, Paolo. And it's nice to see companies buying back their own shares, and also the potential of the dividend to reward shareholders, to wait for some of these value drivers to play out. Before we shift over to the spin out of those silver projects, let's just highlight for people that are maybe not familiar with just how big this could be at Spring Valley in Nevada, the royalty there that Waterton is currently working. Obviously, the plan would be to find a competent operator to bring on to take on this project eventually. And I don't think a lot of people understand this aspect of Sailfish, Paolo. So if you could just highlight just how prospective that could be in the Nevada assets. So just break that down for us.
Yeah, there's several royalty agreements in that area. So it's up to, I believe, 3% NSR, depending on where the production is. So the majority of the production is either on a 2% or 3% NSR agreement. And so, you know, you're looking at a resource of 5 million ounces just north of Rochester in the continental U.S. Waterton, our understanding, has been actively running the sale process to look for a potential buyer. We believe that once it's in the hands of a company, that the technical documents surrounding this asset are going to be made available, and therefore people will have a better understanding and a better appreciation of what this asset could look like. Based on our rough math, we think that this should be able to produce over 200,000 ounces a year in a heap leach, and that should equate to anywhere between $10 and $12 million US a year to Sailfish Royalties in terms of a royalty once it's in production. And that, you know, that's a crown jewel royalty. There aren't very many of those types of royalties out there that pay over $10 million a year.
All right, thank you for that update there, Paolo. Let's also talk about this silver spin-out, the Swordfish Silver Transaction project in Mexico, the Gavilanes Silver Project that's being spun out, as well as this Commonwealth Silver and Gold property that's in Arizona. We initially heard about this spin out in October of last year. We recently received an update talking about a lead order commitment received for this spin out. The company also intends to raise $5 million on the back of this spin out. Provide us with a bit more color on the updates here, please.
Yeah, so we basically have been in discussions with a group that saw the value proposition. They have already signed sub-agreements and committed to a $2 million lead order on this $5 million as a minimum raise in order for the Swordfish Silver to go public. We're extremely elated that we've got a partner that understands the value proposition. Important to highlight that you've got an advanced exploration project for both Commonwealth and at Gavilanes. Both are silver-rich deposits. Commonwealth is located in Arizona and has roughly 19 million ounces silver equivalent associated with that project in a very shallow heap leach target in a shallow open pit. Important to highlight that this was previously mined in the late 1800s. There has been some exploration done, but we don't think that the full scope of understanding what this project has to offer has been really tested because of a colluvial cover, a thin gravel cover in the area. We just finished doing some additional geophysics work in the area, and it basically shows that we've got tremendous amount of exploration upside to the southeast on several parallel veins that have never been tested. And so to have an intact low sulfidation epithermal system in the continental U.S. is very exciting. And we're very much looking forward to getting the drill bit turning on that ASAP. And in addition to that, we also have the project down in Mexico, Durango State, basically 31 kilometers away from San Dimas. So it is mining country. You're looking at 22 million ounces of silver equivalent there. A good portion of that, over 80% of that, is actually silver. And we've been trenching, surface sampling, and we found 8 more veins that have yet to be drilled. And so once the company is public and we can go and devote those and get the permits in hand, we're going to look to kind of expand that resource. The resources that have been done by very conservative group. This is Steve Rusticelli. He's been nicknamed as Mr. Cut in Half because everything that he does a resource on is half of what some of the other consultants out there, but it's very real. And so the fact that we have these resources and it's very conservative, and the fact that we have so much exploration upside leads me to believe that, you know, investors in this go public round are going to make quite a bit of money looking 2 to 4 years out.
Well, Paulo, it's interesting that both of those projects, when you combine them, the Commonwealth and the Gavilanes, already stack up to a nice size resource. If you combine them both together, you know, it's roughly 40 million plus ounces of silver equivalent. You've got a lot of exploration upside on both of them. And I remember when Marlin, which was a predecessor of Mako and Sailfish to begin with, picked up the Gavilanes project a long time ago. A lot of people have been waiting to see this value daylighted. And so now we're finally getting to the point where we are going to see that. For Sailfish shareholders, though, how should they look at this transaction? Like, what's the value driver for people that are in Sailfish for the royalty exposure? Will there be royalties on these two projects eventually? How does that tie into the value driver for Sailfish, please?
Great question. And it was, I believe it was purchased from Santa Cruz Silver. And if you recall, Santa Cruz at the time was having some financial difficulty, I believe it was 2014. And so they effectively purchased it for, if memory serves me correctly, about $3 million. So the value proposition is that Sailfish will own shares in Swordfish as part. And so you as a Sailfish shareholder will receive a Swordfish share as part of the SpinCo in time. I believe most of it's going to be held within the company, but you'll have exposure through your holding your Sailfish shares.
So there's a lot going on with Sailfish royalty and now trying to create some value from these other silver assets. What's the news flow going to look like then, Paulo, for investors to look forward to in terms of key catalysts down the road?
So the major catalysts are going to be driven by drilling being done at Mako Mining, specifically San Albino, in and around San Albino, so Las Conchitas in the surrounding area where Sailfish has the royalty. In addition to that, there's, you know, we're patiently waiting for a transaction to occur on Spring Valley, and that could be transformational. We're looking for the completion of the spin out of Swordfish Silver and us beginning the process of drilling and expanding the resources at those two deposits in time.
Okay, Paulo, we appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for any of the cash flow that the company is generating here or that spin-out, the silver spin-out company, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you. And Paulo, we'll get you back on in the near term to provide more of an update when some more news hits the market. So we appreciate this update, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.